The following program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time. If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy. From Hollywood, Skippy, America's largest selling peanut butter, presents the finest in comedy, romance, drama. In the Skippy Hollywood Theater. Co-starring John Newland and Suzanne Dalbert in Mamselle Bobby Socks. And now, here is the director of the Skippy Hollywood Theater, Mr. Les Mitchell.
This week our story concerns a very charming American male and a très charmant French mamselle. To play the role of the boy, we have the personable young American actor you've seen in T-Men, Gentleman's Agreement, and as the beloved Algy in the new Bulldog Drummond series, Mr. John Newland.
Thank you, Les. I'm looking forward to a lot of fun in the comedy you've selected for this week.
That's fine. And to play the French miss, we have the new Hal Wallace importation from France, a delightful Parisienne who appears with Loretta Young and Bob Cummings in her first American picture, The Accused, lovely Suzanne Dalbert.
That was a very nice introduction, Les. I, too, am looking forward to our play, but I still can't understand how you happened to cast me as a French girl.
I must have gotten the cards mixed up in my casting file. But don't run away after the final curtain, Suzanne. You and John and I have something very important to talk about. But now, here is Van Bessatel.
If you've ever stored away a jar of fresh peanut butter, only to find a few weeks later that its freshness had vanished like last winter's snowman, I can see you're ripe for one of my fatherly chats. So, while you snuggle down in your armchair, I'd like to point out that you'll never find such disadvantages as rancidity, oil separation, or dryness in Skippy peanut butter. You see, new, improved Skippy is a peanut butter that's different. Skippy is made by a new, exclusive process, a process that locks oil and peanut meats together for keeps, never to separate. That means you never have to stir Skippy, and you never have to throw out a partly used jar either, for no dryness or rancidity ever mars that Skippy flavor, the true flavor of plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts. When you buy Skippy, you get all the good of every penny you spend, because Skippy stays fresh and sweet and easily spread to the last spoonful. And now that you're comfortably installed in that armchair of yours, I'll turn you back to Les Mitchell, just as soon as I remind you that if you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy. Thank you.
The Skippy Hollywood Theater presents Act One of Mamselle Bobby Socks, written by Ralph Klein and co-starring Mr. John Newland and Miss Suzanne Dalbert. The curtain is up, and here is the play. It is 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning as we enter the New York apartment shared by two friends and partners in the advertising business, Randy Mason and Pete Howard, and find them asleep in twin beds. Quite a normal setting, except that instead of pajamas, both are wearing black Homburg hats, patent leather shoes, and tuxedos. Let's stop, look, and listen.
Oh, who in the world is calling in the middle of the night? All right. Keep quiet, Pete. Hello.
Good morning, darling.
You got the wrong number.
The wrong number?
There's nobody named Darling here.
Randy, what's the matter with you? This is Gloria.
Who?
Gloria Thomas. Ever heard of me? I'm your fiancée. Perhaps you've forgotten that we're being married this afternoon.
Shut up.
What did you say to me?
Not you, sweetheart. Pete was annoying me. What's on your mind?
Isn't it a lovely day for our wedding?
Oh, I wouldn't know. My eyes aren't open yet.
Randy, you weren't still asleep. How could you on our wedding day? I've been up since dawn getting ready.
I'm sorry, honey. I've had a bad time. The boys gave a stag for us last night, and I still feel a little shaky. And my best man, you should see him.
Well, you both better get busy. It takes time to get out to Westchester.
Now, don't worry about a thing, baby. We'll be there with time to spare.
All right, darling. See you at 3 at the altar.
Yep. Goodbye. Oh, man, my head feels like my shoes are dancing around inside. Come on there, boy. Let's get moving.
Oh, what for?
What's the hurry? Let's go. We've got things to do before the wedding.
Somebody getting married?
Yeah, I am, remember? And you're my best man.
Oh, well, okay. What's first on the program?
I think we could both do with some black coffee. Then we'll get out of these clothes and we'll... Well, who's that?
How should I know?
We'll find out, will you?
Yeah, sure. Yeah? Bonjour. I think Monsieur Randolph Messon.
Does the knowledge of where he is at this moment?
He's busy. What do you want to see him about?
I have foreign news of the greatest, most important interest.
Well, come on in.
Who's that, Pete?
Monsieur, Mr. Rondy, I'm here. I've called.
I can see that. Who are you, or do I try to guess?
You said, don't you remember? In 1944, after the invasion, you were stationed at Vilsum with the 106th Division.
That's right, but... Say.
Ah, now you are recollecting, is that?
By George. It's George.
Oui, it is George. I am here. I've come.
George Bonnet. Oh, boy, am I glad to see you. How long have you been here? When did you arrive?
Only yesterday.
Oh, why didn't you write? Why didn't you let me know you were coming?
I tried to telephone you last evening, but apparently you were off.
Yeah, completely off.
Oh, George, I'd like to have you meet my buddy, Pete Howard.
Comment allez-vous aujourd'hui, monsieur?
Yeah, sure. Same here.
Huh? What did you say?
Pete, you've heard me speak of the Bonets who were so swell to me while I was overseas.
Yeah, many times. Almost feel as though I know them myself.
George, why were all my letters returned address unknown?
After you departed from Ziel, some of our farm was captured by Le Bush. We fled to another city. Only recently we returned to our farm.
But everyone's all right, your mom and papa.
All as jolly as ever, now that they are home again.
And your little sister, Marianne, I'll bet she's a big girl now.
A woman, monsieur. A very beautiful woman, as you will see for yourself.
See for myself? You mean she's here in New York with you?
Oui, Randy. And I know that must make you very, very happy.
Well, of course. I'm extremely happy that you're both here.
But especially Marianne, is that?
Well, not exactly.
Monsieur, naturally, the whole purpose of our trip was that Marianne might find you again.
Find me? I didn't know I was lost. What does she want to find me for?
Well, we thought that if she thought...
Thought what?
That it was your intention to one day make her your bride.
Pipe down, Pete. Where'd you ever get that idea, George?
Marianne says you told it to her.
I did not. Why would I say a thing like that?
I presume that you were in love with her.
Oh, but I never said it. Why, that's the most ridiculous thing. Why, she was just a baby. Hey, wait a minute. George, you don't mean that youngster took me seriously when I said I was going to marry her when she was all grown up. George, I was just playing with her. She was a pretty little kid.
I believe you gave her an engagement ring.
An engagement ring?
She still wears it.
Oh, you must mean that old college ring I gave her as a souvenir. If I said it was an engagement ring, it was just part of the game. Who expected her to call me on it?
In my country, we know of games and we know of love. But we do not confuse the two, monsieur.
Now, George, you're an intelligent man. How can you stand there and say you expect me to marry a 15-year-old kid in body socks?
She was 17 then.
17? I thought she was around 12.
No, monsieur. 17 then. 20 now. A woman.
Well, how do you like that?
Pete, you... Don't look at me, Casanova. When you go around bouncing baby girls on your knee, you ought to ask to see their birth certificates.
Poor Marianne. And she thought that since the war you had been seeking her in vain, that this was to be the joyous reunion. But I see now it was all a bad mistake. I shall explain things to Marianne. Please forgive my intrusion, monsieur. I will depart.
George, you're sore, aren't you? You're making me feel like a heel.
My sister means a great deal to me. If her heart is
broken... She means a great deal to me, too. Your family treated me like a son, but...
Bonjour, monsieur.
Oh, no, wait. Maybe if I saw Marianne and explained the situation myself, maybe that would be better.
It could do no harm.
Well, give me the address and I'll go over there right now.
Marianne occupy room 314 at the Whitestone Hotel.
Good.
Just a moment, Randolph.
What do you want?
I'd like a word with you, old boy.
Later, Pete, when I get back.
Right now, brother. Later may be too late. Step over here.
Oh, right.
Come on.
What is it? Come on, make it snappy.
I just want to remind you that you have a date this afternoon to get married.
Well, don't you think I know it?
In the best circles, one doesn't bid his old flames goodbye on his wedding day.
She's not an old flame. She's just a dizzy kid, and I'll brush her out of my hair in about 2 seconds flat.
I got a feeling you hadn't ought to go there.
I've got to set the youngster straight once and for all. The next time I try to be a big brother, I'll have my head examined first. It proves one thing. In any country, a bobby soxer is still a bobby soxer.
You are so right, Monsieur.
Yes?
Oh, excuse me. I must have the wrong room. I'm looking for Marianne Bonnet.
I am Marianne Bonnet.
You? You're Marianne?
Why, Captain Randy. It is Captain Randy. Oh, mon capitaine.
Hey. Oh, cut that out. Now, stop it. Stop.
Oh, Randy, mon chéri. You're so beautiful. I did not know you at first, but now... Oh, la la.
Oh, Marianne, stop that. Now, let's get inside before someone comes along. Oh.
Let me look at you. Do you know I've never seen you without your uniform? Oh, you're even more handsome. And how do you think I look, Randy?
Well, you've changed, Marianne. A lot, that is.
Whenever you saw me before, I was practically in rags. And of course, I was hardly more than an infant then. Now I'm all grown up. But come, be seated, Randy. We have so much to talk about. First, the past. and then the future?
I can only stay a minute. I have something to tell you, then I've got to be on my way. Now, listen, Marianne.
Oh, let it wait. First, I want to hear about everything you did from the time you left the exam for the front.
No, there's no time. Now, all I want to tell you is this.
I still remember the day you left. You and your men were occupying a barn on our property. Every morning, I used to bring you fresh bread that Mama baked. Do you recall?
I'll never forget. Oh, was that bread good.
Then one morning, I went to the barn as usual, and you were gone.
We were alerted during the night.
Why didn't you wake me to say adieu?
Well, there wasn't time. And there's no time now to sit and talk. Marianne, I've got to tell you this.
When I found you were gone without a word, I broke down and cried like a little baby.
You did?
I loved you so much, and I was afraid I might never see you again. That very day, I started praying every morning and every night for your safe return. Each evening, before I retired, I kissed your picture. Do you think I was silly?
No. When I was 17, I felt the same way about Clara Bow.
Now at last, we're together again. Oh, Randy. Oh, Dean, my darling, my sweetheart, my love, my whole life. Now, what was it you had to tell me?
Well, you've grown up, Marianne. And how?
Well, it's about time
Hello,
you got
Pete.
Back.
Where's George?
He had an appointment about a job. Said he'd call later. Did you tell her?
Pete, can you imagine? When I left for the front, she cried like a baby.
Yeah, but did you tell her?
Every night she kissed my picture.
Yeah, but did you tell her?
When she kissed me, Pete, it was like a mental hot foot.
Oh, you should have told her. That's what you went there for, to tell her you were getting married this afternoon.
Well, I couldn't do it.
Oh, coward.
Okay, I'm a coward, but she's head over heels in love with me. I couldn't stand there and watch her illusions get busted all to pieces. If you'd seen how happy and gay she was, how much this day meant to her, Pete.
She's got to find out sooner or later.
She'll know tonight. I made a date with her.
For tonight? I imagine Gloria will be wild about spending her honeymoon alone.
I'm not keeping the date, naturally. She'll wonder why, and George will tell her the whole thing was a mistake.
He was going to do it in the first place.
I know. I should have let him. I never should have gone to see her today.
Why not?
Why not? Concentrate real hard, Pete. Maybe you'll be able to figure it out.
Marianne. Marianne.
Yes, George. What is it?
I have good news. I have found employment for the both of us.
Oh, that is fine. And I have good news, too. Randy was here.
Yes, I knew he was coming. What did he say to you?
Oh, we reminisced for a while. And of course he was surprised at the change in me. And I found him as wonderful as ever.
That is all?
Yes, that is all.
But I thought...
I have an engagement with him for this evening.
You have?
Why are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm just very happy for you, Marianne, that everything has turned out as I hope it would.
When two people are in love, it could not turn out any other way. But now tell me about this employment.
Well, it is only for the day, but we do need money, so I have accepted a job for us as servant at a wedding reception.
A wedding? Oh, I'm mad about weddings. Where is it, George?
At the bride's home in a place called Westchester. I have the name and address written down here in my pocket somewhere. Oh, yes, here it is. The name of the bride is Thomas. Gloria Thomas.
We'll return in just a moment with Act Two of the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of Mamselle Bobby Socks, co-starring Mr. John Newland and Miss Suzanne D'Albert. But now here's Van Desitel.
Van, why the dejected look? Why the sackcloth and ashes?
Don't speak to me. I'm not worth it. Not after I sinned on last week's commercial. Such cruelty. There they were, my beloved, trusting Skippy audience. And me, I had to open my big mouth and describe new, improved Skippy peanut butter till they were starving hungry for Skippy. Me and my rich, fruity prose telling those nice people that Skippy tastes exactly like plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts. Enthusing over the fact there's no oil separation to mar that wonderful flavor. Why, I even went on to point out that Skippy stays fresh and sweet and easily spread to the last spoonful. Oh, to cause such suffering less.
Why, Van, those statements are all true, but why all the fuss?
Because I told them, quote, try a jar of Skippy tonight, unquote. Some of them were out of Skippy, and most of the groceries were closed. I can see them now rushing out of their homes, scratching and tapping at the doors of darkened grocery stores, trying in vain to buy some Skippy. Oh, believe me, never again will I make such a mistake. Tonight, all I'm saying is, try a jar of Skippy soon, won't you? For it's the truth. If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy.
The Skippy Hollywood Theater is presenting Mr. John Newlin and Miss Suzanne Dalbert in Mamselle Bobbysock.
Still home. Randy, it's nearly 2 o'clock. The ceremony is at 3. You'll never get here in time.
We can't begin without me.
Oh, I know that. But we can't keep the guests waiting. Darling, I'll go out of my mind before this day is over. My hairdresser just phoned that she has the measles. And my hair is a perfect mess.
What are you going to do?
Well, we have some extra help from the employment agency. I sent the butler to find out if one of them can set my hair. If that doesn't work, I don't know what I'll do. Well, hold on, Randy. There's someone at the door. Come in.
Bonjour, mademoiselle. The butler stated that you wished for me to dress your hair.
Oh, just a minute. Oh, it looks as though I'm in luck, sweetheart. One of the extra servants is going to help me.
That's good. Now, calm down, Gloria. I'll be there just as soon as I can.
All right. But please hurry, darling. Well, come over here, girl. Don't stand there with your mouth open. You're an experienced hairdresser?
Not a professional, mademoiselle. But I believe I can do a satisfactory job.
Your own hair doesn't look bad. Well, let's get started.
Oui, you wish the up sweet, n'est-ce pas?
Oui.
You have the perfect dresses for it. It was your fiancé you were conversing with, mademoiselle.
It was.
I'm going to be a bride very soon myself.
I hope you don't go through a day like this.
I'm going to marry my dear sweetheart whom I met overseas.
My fiancé is a veteran, too. He was a captain.
And so was mine.
Really? Oh, well, I suppose there are all sorts of captains.
Hey, take it easy, will you, Randy? What are you so nervous about? You act like you're going to the electric chair instead of just getting married.
Is there a difference? Why don't they get this thing started?
Oh, any minute now. As soon as we hear the organ playing the wedding march, we start the last mile to the altar. Now forget that, mademoiselle, and start thinking about...
Who, Marianne? Who's thinking about her?
You are.
You're nuts. It's just that I hate to see the poor kid's feelings hurt.
Okay, forget I said it.
Look, Pete, be a good fella. Go out there and find out when we're going to start.
Sure, and while I'm gone, you sit back and take it easy.
I'll try to.
I say, old man, have you any idea when this shindig's going to begin?
Pardon me, but are you not Randy's friend?
Well, I'll be. What are you doing here, George?
Well, I'm not the guest, Monsieur, but merely a servant. After all, one must work to exist. Randy is here also?
Naturally. He's here somewhere around here.
It's a small world. To think that he and Marianne had not seen each other in so long, and not twice in one day.
Huh? You don't mean Marianne's here, too?
Maybe. She's assisting the bride in her preparation.
Uh-oh.
Won't Randy be surprised to see her?
And will she be surprised when she sees him? Well, excuse me, old man. I'll see you later.
Pete, look how calm I am. I've just been sitting here relaxed, not thinking about a thing.
Yeah? Well, get up on your feet and we'll start walking the floor together. Mary Ann's here.
Mary Ann's where?
Right here at your wedding.
No. No. Oh, no! Pete, say you're kidding me. Say it!
I wish I could, but she and Brother George got themselves a job here.
Oh, my gosh, this is terrible. Do you realize that when she spots me at the altar, anything can happen?
And probably will.
Pete, what am I going to do? Advise me, man. Don't just stand there.
There's the wedding march. Let's go.
I can't go through with it. Not in front of Marianne.
No, you've got to. It's too late to do anything about it. Come on, let's go. Don't look up, but she's in the back of the hall watching. Keep your head down or you're a crooked goose.
I don't see him make among the guests.
He must be somewhere about. You'll see him after the ceremony. Look, there is Pete, his friend. He is the best man.
I would like to see the groom, but Pete is blocking the way.
Look, Marianne, here comes the bride.
Oh, how exquisite she looks.
Oui, a very, very lovely mademoiselle.
Do you like the way I set her hair, George?
Charmant. Don't talk. They're about to begin.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered together here in the face of this company to join together this man and this woman in holy matrimony. Do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband? To love, comfort, and honor in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, to keep unto you so long as you both shall live?
I do.
Randolph Mason, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
The groom is Randy.
Parbleu, you are right.
The groom is Randy.
Parbleu, stop the ceremony. Mariana's fainted.
Please, step back, folks, and give the girl air. She's only fainted, and there's nothing to get excited about. Come on, now step back.
How is she, George? Is she coming to? Shall I call a doctor?
No, sir, it'd be all right in a moment.
Oh, Randy Mason, what's the meaning of this?
Oh, Gloria...
I've never been so humiliated in my life. In front of all my friends, a servant at my wedding stops the ceremony by calling your name.
Well, I...
Who is this girl? What is she to me? Well, don't just stand there. Give me some sort of explanation.
Listen, baby, if you're
don't
just...
baby me, you big two-timer.
Randy, Marianne has regained the consciousness.
Oh, excuse me, Gloria. Marianne. Are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right. Randy, Randy, what didn't you tell me?
Oh, Marianne, if...
You let me make a fool of myself. You were laughing at me all the time.
No, no. Listen, baby.
I wish you and your fiancé great happiness. Goodbye, Randy.
Marianne, wait. Wait, don't go. Marianne!
Just a minute. Where do you think you're going?
I've got to go after her. She may do something desperate.
And I may, too. To you.
George, you explain this mess to Gloria. Gloria, this is George. See you later.
Enchanté, mademoiselle.
Merci, c'est un plaisir.
Oh, vous parlez français?
Oui. Now, what's all this about?
Ils se sont rencontrés pendant qu'il était dans l'armée durant la guerre. Ils sont tombés amoureux et ont fait de plans de mariage.
What? She thought he was going to marry her?
Oui. Il lui a donné une bague de fiançailles.
An engagement ring. He gave her an engagement ring?
Mais oui. Mais en jeu, il a été appelé.
Wait. Perhaps she's the one he really wants to marry.
C'est possible.
Oh!
Oh, parbleu, she has fainted too.
That fathead taxi driver would pick a time like this to get a flat tire. I could have walked it and been here an hour ago. Marianne, Marianne, are you in there? Marianne, I've got to talk to you. The door's open. Marianne! Marianne? She's not here. And neither is her luggage. Give me the room clerk. Hurry. Hello? Did Miss Marianne Bonnet in room 314 check out? She did. How long ago? Well, did she say where she was going? Where? Oh, down to the docks. What? Say, you don't think she's planning to... Oh, she's sailing to France tonight. What's that? Sailing for France? She can't do that. Or can she? Not in her cabin, not in the dining room. She must be up here on deck. I've got to find her. I've got to. The ship's going to sail soon, and not a sign of her. There. Marianne!
Randy, what are you doing here?
I've come for you. Hurry, we've got to get off this tub right away.
No, no, Randy. Go back to her. It will be better that
way. Now, there's no time to argue now. Let's get off the boat, and we'll fight it out later.
Let me go, Randy. I want to go back where I belong.
You belong here with me, and this is where you're going to stay. Now, come on. There's no time to lose. She'll be sailing in a minute.
You're wrong, Randy. There's plenty of time.
Hey. Hey, where's the dock? What? Hey, stop this boat. Where's the captain? I've got to get off.
You're too late, Randy. You're on your way to France.
Hello?
Hello. Is that you, Gloria?
Yes. Who's this? Randy?
Yes. Marianne, this is wonderful.
You're Gloria on the telephone.
Yeah, and it's as though I were in the next room instead of across the ocean.
Randy, where are you? Why haven't I heard from you since you deserted me at the altar?
I'm in Nice, the Riviera, you know, in France.
France? I don't believe it. This is one of your tricks.
No, no, this is the truth. This is the first chance I've had to call, and now I want to explain to you.
It's a little too late for explanations, Randy. Suppose we just forget the whole thing. I hope you and Marianne will be very happy. She's a sweet girl.
But Gloria, I'm thrilled to hear you taking it like such a good sport. Now I can tell you the news. Marianne and I were married on board the ship, and we're now on our honeymoon.
Congratulations, Randy. The best of everything to both of us.
Gloria, you're a peach. And we'll see you as soon as we get back to America.
To whom are you speaking, my chérie? Is perhaps someone I know?
Gloria, what's Charles Boyer doing at your house?
Well, you see, I'm just about to leave on my honeymoon, too. George and I were married last night.
George?
George, what about George? What did she say?
Listen, Marianne, get your ear up against the receiver and you'll hear for yourself.
Oh, my most beautiful darling, you're too wonderful for words.
Oh, you marvelous man.
Gloria!
I will lay the whole world at your feet.
Hey, this is costing me $12 a minute and they're playing post office.
Well, put the telephone down. We will play at the post office, too.
And the curtain falls on Act Two of the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of Mademoiselle Bobby Sox, co-starring Mr. John Newland and Miss Suzanne Delbert, who'll return in just a moment.
Both styles of Skippy peanut butter, creamy style blue label and chunk style red label, are wonderful for buttering bread, crackers, or toast. But chunk style especially is extra good for use in recipes, too. Chunk style Skippy has crunchy little nuggets of peanuts generously sprinkled throughout. It saves you the time and trouble of grating or chopping nuts. And it takes ordinary homemade cookies, cakes, and candies right out of this world. Try glamorizing a recipe with Chunk Style Skippy soon, won't you? You'll like it. Now here's our director, Les Mitchell.
And here are our stars, John Newland and Suzanne Delbert.
Thank you, Les.
As you know, kids, I'm very anxious to talk about
our... It's swell to have this chance to tell you how happy I am to be in your show at the Coronet Theater.
It's a chance I've been looking forward to.
Now, wait a minute. Whoa.
What Suzanne is trying to say, Les, is that she's enjoying her work on the stage in the Les Mitchell production at the Coronet Theater.
And John is trying to say that he feels Cupid Sam's his nose, in which he co-stars with Lena Robert, is the most delightful comedy in which he has ever appeared.
And what I've been trying to say is that I welcome the chance to have some of the fine stars of our radio theater appear in person at the Coronet. I hope some of our listeners will be in Hollywood while it's playing and will drop in on us. John Newland is the leading man, Lena Robert is the leading lady, and Suzanne Delbert as the misleading lady, together with an all-star cast, turn in swell performances.
Thank you, Les. I've enjoyed working with you both in the stage play and in this radio play.
Both have been swell, Les.
Thank you very much, and see you both later at the Coronet Theater.
In the cast, you heard John Newland as Randy, Suzanne Delbert as Marianne, Gray Stafford as Pete, Eve McVeigh as Gloria, Wilms Herbert as George, and Norman Rainey as the minister. Mademoiselle Bobby Sox was written by Ralph Klein, edited by Bud Lesser, produced and directed by Les Mitchell, who is here also as your host.
Thank you for tuning in on this week's radio play. We hope you'll be among those who will be with us in the weeks to come, for we have some great shows lined up. Our coming attractions include such stars as Barry Sullivan, Thomas Mitchell, Gail Patrick, and George Brent.
John Newland may be seen in 13 Lead Soldiers. Suzanne Delbert appeared through the courtesy of Hal Wallace Productions, producers of So Evil My Love. Dan Desitel speaking for the Skippy Hollywood Theater. This program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time.